Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As we have been reading in the book of Genesis, and as we heard this evening the reference to Noah and to the ark, we are given pause to consider and understand Noah and his time in the ark. The church has, since the time of the apostles, when reading Noah and his, let's say, adventure in the ark, has interpreted this or seen this through the light of baptism. That God covers the entire earth with the waters as in a tomb, because of all the wickedness such that had never been seen before, that began, as we saw, with the fall, with Cain and Abel, and then Lamech, and it continued. And it was God who, in his regret, but still desiring to start anew, covers the earth with water, but begins anew with Noah and all those on the ark. So we have not a baptism by fire, as we may colloquially say, but a baptism by water. This also is a great time of pilgrimage, where Noah, who looks about and sees no one else faithful to all of the jeers and to the consternation and not understanding, scratching of the heads of those around him, built this ark and spent his time talking about an end that they did not believe in as they continued to live in the flesh. This pilgrimage that Noah and his family took was one that was one of great faith, one that required a community. And here we see that the church has very often seen and even depicted an iconography as the church as a ship and as a place of safe harbor, a place to seek refuge. And is, of course, then also a sign of baptism and the presence of God in this recreation and echoing, of course, of the beginning and creation, where a dove is what finds land and hope. That we who have been sealed with the sign of the Holy Spirit, who has Christ within us and has the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, pouring out the love and presence of God, giving us hope, that in the dark, choppy waters, what seems like is complete devastation and loneliness with just a few aboard, there is hope, there is newness, there is something that promises a new beginning. The church as an ark is a great symbol for us, because as we travel through this time of that has been allotted to us by God, we really need each other. This was not Noah on his own little buoy out in the waters. This was Noah with his family. This was Noah who is tasked with taking all of creation, like a little mini globe within the ark, to start anew. And we read in the lives of the saints, because our friends in this ark are not only those, our brothers and sisters here and now, whom we need to lean upon, to learn from, but sometimes just to have an open heart and open ears. We also need the intercessions and the body of all of those saints who've gone on before us. This is why the church always encourages the reading of the lives of the saints. And I just want to share a little bit from the life of a saint that you probably haven't heard that much about, the one that we commemorated this evening, Joseph the hymnographer. He's one of these saints that is in some ways peripheral, but at the same time incredibly interwoven into your life, and you don't even know it. So many of the hymns of the Menea, which is the daily, if you come to Wednesday night and you hear all the hymns about the apostles, right, the Menaean, many of them come from Joseph. So he's with you whether you know it or not if you come to the services and hear his words and pray with him. Joseph had one of these lives that was rocked constantly by being taken from here and there, not always because he wanted to go. He lived during the time of the iconoclastic persecution, specifically under the Emperor Leo the Armenian. And it was because of he and his friend Gregory's preaching about the veneration of the holy icons that they were cast out, that they were actually left to the island of Crete out of Constantinople. And there, the way they got to Crete was that they weren't purposely going there, but Arab brigands picked them up, deposited them there to return back to those they didn't want to be around anymore, the iconoclasts. And it was here they were imprisoned. And Joseph, whom we don't know about his hymn writing yet, he begins in the midst of this to encourage the prisoners. He's like a new Paul stuck on the island of Crete in a jail. And here he even strengthens an Orthodox bishop who had begun to waver in the faith, who is in the prison with him. This solidarity in the midst of the choppy waters, there's Joseph encouraging those on the ark with him. Now, his stay was not just days or weeks or months. He stayed 6 years in this prison on Crete. And it was finally on the eve of the Nativity of Christmas, the Nativity of our Lord, that one of his friends showed up, Saint Nicholas of Myra, who told him that at that moment, Leo the Armenian, the one who had cast him out of Constantinople, had died, and that this would be the end of the persecution. And Saint Nicholas then gave him a scroll and said, "Take this scroll and eat it. I hope this makes your ears burn a little bit, and maybe the echoes of Scripture and the prophets here." On the scroll that Saint Nicholas gave to Saint Joseph, it said, "Hasten, O gracious one, and come to our aid if possible, and as you will, for you are the merciful one." The monk read the scroll, and can you guess what he did next in true prophetic style? What was that? Anybody?
He ate it.
And he said, "How sweet are thine oracles to my throat." I'm sure he had to clear his throat after that. And this is when Saint Nicholas told him to sing. And it was with the singing of Joseph that the chains fell off, the doors opened, and he emerged from the prison, set free by God through the intercessions of his friend Nicholas. It doesn't end here. Like Philip in the book of Acts, Joseph is taken up, and he is then transported and dropped in a road near Constantinople. And if you're wondering at these points, okay, this is a pretty crazy story. Well, brothers and sisters, Jeremiah, Paul, all the things that we take for granted in Scripture, this is not a dead faith. The saints and God is present and living, and it should not strike us that a saint would have similar experiences of the saints that we already accept. When he reached Constantinople, he learned that his friend Gregory had died. But there was a friend of the friend, and he builds a church to St. Nicholas. And it is there that a monastery was renewed, and he began his vigil and prayer. St. Joseph was friends not only with Nicholas, but also with the Apostle Bartholomew, and he drew close to and loved the Apostle Bartholomew. He even built a church in the memory of the Apostle Bartholomew. And he was greatly distressed because he had been gifted this ability to sing and write verse, that at the time there was no hymnody for Bartholomew. So what does Joseph do? He decides to adorn the feast of the saint with hymns to be able to honor his friend Bartholomew. Now, these hymns did not just come to him on his own, but he spent in great dedication to Bartholomew 40 days of tears, praying for the feast to be illumined by God. And on the eve of the feast of the Apostle Bartholomew appeared to him. He took the Holy Gospel, pressed it against Joseph's chest, and blessed him to write church hymns with these words: "May the right hand of the Almighty God bless you. May your tongue pour forth waters of heavenly wisdom. And may your heart be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And may your hymnody delight the entire world." After this, St. Joseph composed the canon to the Apostle Bartholomew. And he began composing hymns and canons in honor of St. Nicholas, who had liberated him from the prison, and the hymns that you and I sing to this day. It is by reading the lives of those who have gone on before us, their suffering, their devotion, their piety, their love, and to see how God responds to them and how the saints respond, that helps enlighten and enliven us. Because the waters outside the ark are pretty choppy, dark, and bleak. And without the promise of the Holy Spirit within our heart telling us that there is new land, it's pretty lonely. So brothers and sisters, learn to find place on the ark, to find brothers and sisters whom you can relate to, whom you can open up to, that you can lean on, who are present to you here in this place, but also who are present to you through prayers, through their intercessions. Because we are not on this path alone, but we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Remember the gospel from this past Sunday. It took the paralytic's friends to help him to reach our Lord, to hear that his sins were forgiven and that he would walk again. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.